question.
Because if you believe in it, then you believe in the dogma, and you believe in that way.
If there's only one way, then nobody's going to get in there. Christians, for sure, feel that without accepting Christ, that you can't get to heaven.
Well, if you believe in that, then chances are you probably do believe that there's only one way. And that's through paying your tithing. So just pay your tithing and you'll go there. I mean, there's many, many ways. And all you do is choose that way.
Christians are about 1/5 of the world's population. That means 4/5 of the world's population is going out the tubes.
The Christian way is probably the best way, not the only way.
Personally, I would believe that the way to heaven would be through happiness, you know. Happiness on earth. That would be my heaven. Would not be yours.
There's some that I won't know until I'm there, so these questions that will be answered later on in life.
I believe God accepts each one of us on our own levels, you know, and for what we know.
I personally believe that you should do everything you can to be a good person, and what I think being a good person is to do the best you can not to hurt other people.
Heaven is a good place where good people go to get to meet God. It's like a spirit.
Does anyone like to sing at God? Can you always be happy? Up in heaven.
There's probably other real religious scholars that don't believe in just one way. You know, true scholars. Happiness is it. Happiness is heaven.
When you die, when you go to heaven, your heaven is with your family and your friends.
Unless happiness means like killing people. I'm happy. You're dead. So, you know, that's not it for sure.
One way to heaven. I don't know. How can there be only one way to heaven? You know, in our culture, we suggest that there's one way to do anything, and it is met with a violent reaction. One way to do anything. It reeks of exclusivity and bigotry to say there's only one way to do something. Now, I don't care whether it's the pants that you wear, the style of shirt that you have, the car that you drive, the color of your cell phone, whatever it might be, the type of cereal you eat, to say that there's only one correct way to do it, it's met with resistance. We don't like to hear that, do we? We don't like to hear that. Even if it's the coffee you drink, you know, I mean, to be told, when I was growing up, this is kind of like me saying to my kids, when I was your age, when I grew up, coffee, when you went to order coffee, what did you get? Coffee. Either good coffee or bad coffee. But it was coffee. And, you know, most of the people didn't even drink. I don't remember. My neighbor drank cream, and I always thought that was weird because her coffee was always kind of tan. So people just drank it black. When you had coffee, you had coffee. And today, I don't know if you knew this, but if you go to Starbucks, you go to Starbucks today, you know you have a few choices, don't you? I always feel stupid when I go to Starbucks. I wish they had numbers by the thing so I could say, I'll take a number 3. But they make you try to pronounce these things. You know, I'll have a large, I mean a medium. No, I mean a tall. What? I don't know if tall or is that big or little. What is that? And I'll have the macchiato caramel. And I think when I leave, they just laugh at me. They look at each other. This guy doesn't know how to order coffee. Did you know at Starbucks, this is amazing, you have 19,000 different combinations that you can pick when you go into a Starbucks coffee shop. And they actually have a book you can get online on how to order coffee at Starbucks. They teach you, Starbucks has a book that teaches you how to order coffee so you don't feel stupid like I do. 19,000 choices for coffee. How on earth can we say of the most controversial topic in the universe, how a person gets to heaven, how can I say there's only one way? There's only one right way. We resist that. We don't like that. And you add to that the fact that we live in a very postmodern culture, which means this. Postmodernism simply is this, that Truth is relative. What you believe is truth may not be truth for them. And it would be arrogant of me to say, my truth has to be your truth. That truth is subjective. Don't tell me that there's absolute truth. We all just have to be tolerant of each other, accept whatever you want to believe. That it would be wrong for me to say, your idea is wrong and mine is right. That is unacceptable in our postmodern culture. And it has clouded the whole thought process of this idea of truth. And it's confused a lot of people. And again, add on top of that, the fact that we live in a very consumer-driven culture, and things just get out of whack. That, again, we have all these choices. Everything has choices. And your truth may not be my truth. How can we say there's only one way? How can anybody say that on anything? Ravi Zacharias, he's got a great quote. He says this, philosophically, you can believe anything you want as long as you don't claim it to be the truth. Morally, you can practice anything you want as long as you don't claim it as a better way. Religiously, you can follow anything at all you want as long as you don't bring Jesus Christ into it. And I think that's true. This is the environment that we live in. So the question I had this morning, what's the truth about heaven? Is there only one way? What is the truth? And hopefully we'll clear this question up, even in the midst of our postmodern consumerism mentality culture. We're going to see what God has to say about this topic. We're going to look at some truths. We're going to look at some truths about heaven. Jesus said this in John 8:32, he said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus believed in absolute truth. He said, you can know the truth, and it'll set you free. I want us to be set free on this topic this morning, discovering the truth about getting to heaven. Let's look at a number of things here. Truth, number one, and you have some notes in your program. You can pull these out. By the way, I said this was going to be a mystery message, and I decided to squeeze in another message about heaven. So Saturday night didn't get it. They're going to have to listen to it online. But this is exclusively for Sunday morning. Truth is exclusive. Truth is exclusive. We need to ponder this idea of what truth is. Truth is exclusive, which means basically that it must stand up to scrutiny. Truth is truth. Whether you say it is or is not, if it's true, then it's true. And how do we know if it's truth? Well, can it be proved wrong? Simply, can it be proved wrong? It has to stand up to scrutiny. Today, I'm speaking to you on this stage. I'm giving a message Sunday morning here at the Rock Church, standing on this stage, talking to you. That's true, right? Everybody agree? That's true. If you were to go home and someone was to ask you, now, who gave the message today? And you'll say, Mac gave the message today. Well, I heard that Bill gave the message, that he was standing on the stage. And he even said that he was giving the message as he stood on the stage. No, Bill didn't give the message today. Mac gave the message today. Now, for them, the truth is that Mac gave the message. But does that make their truth true? Just because they believe it's true? What is true? That today I'm giving the message. I'm standing here. That is truth, and it's exclusive truth. You can't have a truth and a non-truth together. There is truth, and it is exclusive, and it can be proved, and it'll hold up to scrutiny. Truth is truth, and it is exclusive. The postmodernists, again, would say, listen, if it's true for them that Mac taught, then let them have it. That's fine. For them, that's true. Just let it go. We need to love. Can't we just get along? Can't we just love each other? Why do you have to argue? Just let Mac taught for them. For them, it was Mac. For you, your truth is Bill taught. No, truth is exclusive. Truth is truth, whether somebody believes it or not. Postmodernism goes way back. Way back to Jesus' time, we read about what I consider one of the first postmodernists, at least the ones that we read in the Bible. His name was Pontius Pilate. He was a postmodernist. Did you know that? When he was examining Jesus, when he was questioning Jesus, at one point Jesus said, everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus was bound at this point talking to Pontius Pilate. And Jesus said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. To which Pontius Pilate made the infamous statement where he said, what is truth? Jesus, what is truth anyway? If it's true, it might be true for you, but it's not true for me, Jesus. What is truth? Who can know truth? Well, we can know truth because it is exclusive. But in our country, it's a hard thing. George Barna, the great pollster, said this, Americans today are in tragic shape when it comes to ultimate truth. He went on to say this. George Barna said that this is amazing to me, most Americans reject the notion of absolute truth. Most people believe that it does not matter which God you pray to because every deity is ultimately the same deity. Americans, shrouded in different names and attributes by humankind. Nearly 2 out of 3, 66% of Americans contend that the choice of one religious faith over another is irrelevant because all faiths teach the same basic lessons about life. All religions are the same, says 2/3 of Americans. The statistic goes clear up to 72% for those people between the age group of 18 and 25. All religions are the same. It doesn't matter what you let's just get along here. Your truth may not be the same as mine, but hey, what does it matter? It's all the same thing. There's good in all of it. You've heard that. Some of you may believe that. But Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And there is truth, and that'll set you free. That'll set you free. I'm going to go way back here in my age just to show you. Remember the Dick? Anybody remember the Dick Cavett show? It was one of the first talk shows, Dick Cavett. He had two guests on his show. One was Jane Fonda. It's kind of interesting lineup. And the Archbishop of Canterbury were on his show together. True story. And at one point, the Archbishop turned to Jane Fonda and said, I've got the quote here. He said, Miss Fonda, Jesus is the Son of God, you know. Said that to Jane Fonda. To which Jane retorted, maybe he is for you, but he isn't for me. Is that postmodernism or what? Okay, he's the Son of God for you, but he isn't for me. Bill taught this morning for you, but he didn't for me. To which I love this response. The Archbishop said, well, either he is or he isn't. Truth is exclusive. Either Jesus is the Son of God or he isn't. Don't give me this stuff that he is for you, but he's not for me. It's exclusive. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's a little long. I love it. I've shared it before here. Dorothy Sayer said this, we believe everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone. You heard that in the clip before I showed this. It's about happiness. It's about doing your best not to hurt. As long as you don't hurt anybody, just believe whatever you want. That's what Dorothy says. We believe everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone to the best of your definition of hurt. And that's what that guy said at the end. Listen, it's okay as long as you're happy, unless happiness is shooting somebody. And I have to ask the question, who are you to judge me if happiness for me is shooting someone? In a postmodern world, who are you to judge me? You can't. That's the point. If it's okay to do whatever makes you happy, and it makes me happy to shoot you, you have no right to judge me. You have absolutely no right. In a postmodern world. But that's not the world God says we live in. We believe Jesus was a good man, just like Buddha, Muhammad, and ourselves. He was a good moral teacher, although we think many of his good moral teachings were actually bad. She goes on to say, we believe that all religions are basically the same, at least the one that we read about. They all believe in love and goodness. The only things they differ on are matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, salvation, and the meaning of life. We believe that each person must find the truth that is right for him. Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will adjust. History will alter itself. We believe that there is no absolute truth except the absolute truth that there is no absolute truth. I think that's what we're up against. And to come in and say there's only one way, I want to tell you something. It's a tough road. And it's even muddled because of certain things. I call them kind of bad analogies. You've all heard them. This idea that all roads lead to God. We've heard the analogies. It's kind of like with a mountain. You know, if you want to get to the top of the mountain, the analogy is you want to get to God, you just take a path. There may be several paths. Come on, Bill. Don't tell me there's only one path to get up there, but they all lead to the same place. You've heard that before. Or an elephant. You're in the dark and there's an elephant in the room. And you got a bunch of people, and people are touching this elephant on the trunk or on the ear or on the tusk or the tail, on the leg, and they all give a different description of what they're feeling. But it's the same elephant. People may have different descriptions of their religion and the way to get to God, but it's the same deity. Or what about this, the rivers? You know, rivers coming out of a mountain. There's lots of different tributaries and rivers, but they all end up where? In the ocean. And the point of all these bad illustrations, and most analogies always fall short, but these really fall short, and I think they confuse the issue. Why? Because God is not an elephant. And God is not a mountain. And God is not a river or an ocean. God is the creator of the universe. And not only that, He's personable. You can know Him personally. You can know Him objectively. Then there has to be some subjective analogy. In other words, if you were going to go home and a friend at work, he said, hey, I'd like you to meet one of my pastors, Pastor Bill Young. He taught this week. And I'd like you to meet him. Oh, I'd like to meet him. What's he like? Well, he's like a tree. Where all the branches go out and there's wisdom and the leaves fall and cover the ground and he gets his nutrients from the ground and the bark grows on him. And why would you do that when you could just say, why don't you just come meet him? Here, I'll introduce you to him. Why do we muddle ourselves with this? Well, we can know God personally. He's personal. He's not subjective and we have to come up with some weird analogy. And he says, there's one way to get to me. One way. And you can know Him. You know Him. We don't need these analogies. And oftentimes people get upset because someone says there's one way to do something. We can get upset. And we have to accept everyone. We have to just believe. You can believe what you want and it will be wrong for me to say you're wrong. But I just want to tell you something, that respect doesn't require 100% agreement. That is a wrong notion of postmodernism. Ask anybody that's married, do you agree on everything? Do you agree on anything? But you can still respect and love one another. That's what brings a spice to your marriage, is that you are so different. Difference attracts for a reason. You don't have to agree with everyone. Some religions get so upset. I've sat with different proselytizers of their religion and sat with them and just showed them some differences between their what they believe and what I believe in the Bible and had them in, and they were almost in tears. Just young kids. And honestly, I'm not a mean guy. I wasn't yelling at them. I didn't call them names. I just showed them the differences and they said, you're attacking my religion. And there was other people. Jeff Porter was with me. And I just said, Jeff, am I attacking it? And Jeff was like, what are you guys talking about? We're just talking about our differences. You're attacking our church. We just have to accept everything that everybody believes? No, we can respect. That's what tolerance means. I like this definition. Tolerance is the capacity for or the practice of recognizing and respecting the beliefs or practices of others. We can do that. We can respect. We can recognize, but nowhere in there does it say I have to agree with what you believe. I can lovingly disagree. That doesn't make me a bigot. That doesn't make me a fascist. I can do that very lovingly and say, I respect that you believe that. I believe you believe that. I just happen to believe that this is true. That's what I believe. Truth is exclusive, okay? We need to touch on that. We're going to talk about one way. All right, number two. Let's talk about, just real quick, World Religions 101. Let's do a cursory overview of world religions. Truth about major world religions. We're not talking about the little cults here and there that sprout up. We're talking about major world religions like Buddhism or Taoism, Islam, Judaism, Confucianism, Shintoism, etc., etc. Major world religions. You need to understand something about major world religions. All these roads that supposedly lead to one place. You need to understand, just in a summary, in a nutshell, that most of these world religions, straight down the line, teach that good works will get you to heaven. Most, if not all of them, teach that you got to be good enough to get to heaven. That's what they have in common. Okay? That most of them will teach that you have to be good enough. And most of these religions, if you look at them, are impersonal and demanding. Religious works are required. You have to observe rituals and regulations. And the sad thing is about most of these world religions, and you can look it up yourself if you've studied them, you understand this, that most of these world religions, even after you've kept all their regulations, all their laws, or at least tried to, there is still no assurance that you're going to be with God in heaven forever. There's no assurance given. It's simply a cold and unloving relationship with an impersonal God. And what that gives you is anxiety and fear. That's what most of these religions produce in most of their followers. That's just simply true. Whenever you're in a works-based religion, it's going to produce anxiety. Because you've got to obey the rules. And always, listen, always the question that must be asked of any religion that says, you follow our rules, you follow our teaching, you do these 10 things, and then you do these and these and these. Always the question you need to ask is, well, how do I know when enough is enough? How do I know when I've done enough? How can I know that? Do I obey that? You know, the 6,000th time and a bell ding goes off and I'm going to heaven? How do I know? How do you know? Point is, you can't know. If you're in a works-based religion, meaning it depends on your good works or your following the teachings, then you'll never know. You're just hoping you're going to get there. And what you do, what you end up doing is this. You start looking around you and going, I think I'm better than them. Oh, they're a little better than me. I better pick it up here. And that's no way to live. That's no way to live. But that's what major world religions teach. That's what people are steeped in. Not only that, but most major world religions contradict each other. Here's what Dr. Michael Green says. He wrote a book called Do All Roads Lead to Heaven? It's a good quote. He said, perhaps the greatest difference, the differences of all among major religious views, is what he's talking about, lies in the Christian assertion that none of us can save ourselves and make ourselves acceptable to God. Try as we may, all the other faiths assert that by keeping their teachings, a person will be saved, fulfilled, or reborn. Through their teachings, through obeying. It's a huge difference between Christianity and all other world religions. You see, all other world religions are man trying to reach up to God and trying to be good enough. And Christianity is simply God coming down to us and lifting us out. It sets Christianity apart from all other world religions. It does. It sincerely does. If you study them, you'll understand that. You know, on the surface, there seem to be some commonality. But most, not just the cults, most world religions flatly contradict one another in crucial matters. And that's important. If you say all roads lead to heaven, then you can't just kind of go on the surface to go, see, they're all the same. They all say love and be nice to each other and be kind. You dig just below the surface and you realize that even these major world religions, they contradict each other on critical matters. Again, on the doctrine of heaven and hell and salvation and grace, the nature of God. Honestly, when I discuss religion with even people in this culture, I don't talk about hardly anything except the nature of God. Who is God to you? Because there are some people that believe there are millions of God. They're polytheistic. Christianity happens to be monotheistic. We believe there's one God. In the Trinity, there is one God. Three who's and one what. Read the Bible. We believe in one God. That's what we believe in. There's some religions that believe there are lots and lots and lots and lots of God, millions of God, gods without number. And some believe you can become a God. Now, honestly, I don't need to go much further in my conversation with someone that says, my religion's just like yours, we believe the Bible. And so how many gods do you believe in? Well, when it comes right down to a push comes to shove, okay, we believe in lots of gods. And do you think you could become, yeah, I think I could become a god. Well, you know what? Run from that as fast as you can. Because that is not what the Bible teaches. That's about as far as you can get. Don't tell me all roads lead to heaven and you believe there's a million gods. And I believe there's one that created everything, that has never had a beginning and will never have again an end. He is the God. And you tell me there's millions and that you might become a god? Oh my, I think we have some differences here. Wouldn't you say? How can we say all roads lead to which God? I don't know. Well, we do know. Because there's one God. We believe that is true. You know, saying that all roads lead to heaven, and I've said this before too, it's like picking up a phone and randomly just dialing some numbers and expecting to get Donald Trump on the phone. I don't know who. Just randomly, all roads lead to heaven. I'm just going to and get Donald Trump on the phone. It's not going to happen. It's ridiculous. It sounds good, but it is not the truth. And truth is exclusive. As R.C. Sproul, Christian author and apologist, said, a thinking person will quickly see that they, talking about all world religions, cannot possibly be all true in what they claim. They can all be wrong, but they can't possibly be all right. And that is true. When you put them all in, when you do a comparative study of all world religions, you come to the conclusion, a thinking person will go, man, they don't agree on the basics of the nature of God or sin and salvation, heaven, hell. They don't agree on any of that. So the only conclusion you can come to is they can't all be right. They can't all go to the same place. So they could all be wrong, though. You could come to that conclusion. Maybe they're all wrong. But they're certainly not all right. They're certainly not all the same. Okay, that's World Religions 101. Let's move on. Truth about what Jesus claims. Truth about what Jesus claims. Jesus claims that he's the only way. Oh, man, we don't like that. That's like going to Starbucks and saying, you want it black or you want it with cream? It's the only choice you got. Here's our house blend. That's what you get. You want it tall? We'll call it a large. I'd rather call it a large. You want a large coffee or a small coffee? We would rebel at that. There would be utter chaos in the streets if Starbucks only offered you a small or a large coffee. No fixins. They wouldn't have to hire as many people. They just dole it out. They could put it in little styrofoam cups and hand it to you. Jesus, listen, Jesus claimed that he was the only way. Now this flies right in the face of any other religion that says we believe in Jesus was a great teacher. Oh, we believe in him. A lot of world religions, Islam included, Judaism, well, not so much Judaism, but there's a lot of world religions. I mean, Judaism recognizes that Jesus was on the earth, that he was his historical figure. Islam claims he's a great prophet. Now, I've got to tell you something. That flies right in the face of anyone. For Jesus to claim, I'm the only way, how can you even embrace him at all and say he was a good teacher if he's teaching something that you don't believe is true? Jesus claimed it. Look at John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am. I love the fact that he uses the phrase I am because we know what that means, don't we? We know our Old Testament. We know this is one of the names God gave Moses. Who should I say sending me, God, into Egypt? God said, tell him that I am sent you. The I am. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. And the life. No one, listen, this just kills me. No one comes to the Father except through me. How arrogant. How preposterous. One way. All these other religions, Jesus, are fine. They have some good truth. Who are you to say you're the only way? He didn't say, I am one of the ways. I am part of the truth. And I offer some life. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Not only that, but no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you don't like that, then again, you've got to take it up with Jesus. If you say that's judgmental, and that's what people say, that's so judgmental, we'll take it up with him. He's the one that said it. And he proved that he is who he said he was. Look at this verse, John 11:25. Jesus said, talking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus. After Lazarus died, Jesus showed up. Martha came out to him weeping. Jesus, if you'd been here, you would have lived. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's talking like a madman here. Martha, your brother just died. She's weeping. She's mourning. Her brother's been dead 4 days. Martha, I am the resurrection. Can you imagine me saying that, trying to comfort a family if I do a funeral? Which I've done a few. I do a funeral and I walk up to the family and they're grieving. I touch them on the shoulder and say, fear not, I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, you're never going to die. Man, lock me up. Put me in a straitjacket. That's what he said. He told this grieving woman, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. This is crazy. Well, then he proved himself by raising him from the dead. I'll prove it to you, says Lazarus, come out of here. Oh, Lord. I just read this to my boys. Lord, there's a smell. He's been in his sister said, Lord, he's been in the cave for 4 days. There's a bad odor by now. Read it. John chapter 11. But we're not going to open. No, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. This is a desert. It's going to smell bad. Open the cave. Lazarus, come out of here. Lazarus, come here. This is a dead man. Walked out with his grave clothes still on. Jesus said, take off the dead man's clothes. Jesus rose him from the dead. Because he's God. Because he's the creator. He is who he says he is. Not only that, Jesus said, if you do not believe, talking to Jewish leaders here, Pharisees, if you do not believe, imagine him pointing his finger at those Pharisees, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to go to hell. You'll die in your sins. It's all dependent on me. I'm the hinge to this thing. I'm the door. I'm the only way you're going to get to God. He's telling this to religious leaders. Very pious, religious people who didn't like it very much and decided because of it they're going to kill him. Jesus said, I am the way. This is his claim. And I want to tell you something. This is very counterculture, isn't it? For someone to claim that you're the only way, that it's through me personally, it's not through my teaching. He didn't say that. He said, you'll know the truth if you listen to my teachings, you'll know about me. But it's very countercultural. Many great teachers have come and gone. Many great teachers have taught good things, very good things. And we can respect every one of them. But not one of these world major religion teachers pointed to themselves. Only Jesus did. The only one I could think of was Sun Myung Moon of the Moonies. I think he pointed to himself, but he called himself Jesus, if I remember. So, in one sense, pointing back to Jesus. And he was a fruitcake, okay? But Jesus, on the other hand, pointed to himself. Listen, Confucius never pointed to himself. In all his teachings, he pointed to ethics and learning. He pointed people to ethics and learning. Muhammad pointed to the Quran, not to himself. Buddha pointed to enlightenment. And I've heard this, I've tried to find out on the internet, but I only found a couple. This may not be true, but Buddha, evidently, on his deathbed, told his followers, don't follow me. Work out your own salvation diligently. Can you imagine his followers who are just, you know, riding on his every word, and for him to actually, if he said that, don't follow me, I'm dying, don't follow me. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen. Go find your own truth. What? We gave our whole life to, what? I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He said this, there is no halfway house, and there is no parallel in other religions. If you had gone to Buddha and asked him, are you the son of Brahma? He would have said, my son, you are still in the veil of illusion. If you had gone to Socrates and asked, are you Zeus? He would have laughed at you. If you had gone to Muhammad and asked, are you Allah? He would have first rent his clothes and then cut off your head. Jesus, on the other hand, said, you've got to come right through here. I am the door. If you don't come through me, you will die in your sin. There is no other way. That's what Jesus said. Jesus pointed to himself. He pointed to himself. I like what his followers said about Jesus. They believe this, what he taught. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name, the name Jesus, under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name. We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Through him, That narrows things down, doesn't it? In Philippians chapter 2, we read this, "Therefore God exalted Him." Who? Jesus. God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Did he miss anybody? In heaven and on the earth and under the earth, every knee will bow, not to a set of teachings, not to a religious organization that claims they have the truth, but to Jesus Christ, the God-man. Every knee is going to bow to Jesus. And every tongue is going to confess. Every one of us, believers and non-believers alike, will say these words on their knees in front of Jesus Christ someday. Jesus Christ, you are Lord. Some may say it through gritted teeth, angry words, but you are the Lord. And they'll be sent away to eternal darkness. But everybody's going to say it. Oh my goodness, that's pretty narrow. That is pretty narrow, Bill. Well, again, I agree. It stands against the entire world community to claim that there is one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Let me share this quote with you. I threw this in last minute because I love it. Again, C.S. Lewis talking about this postmodern thought about we accept Jesus' teachings, but, you know, there's lots of ways to heaven. This is what C.S. Lewis said. Great quote. So that's what people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. He's a great teacher, and we can follow his teachings, but I don't accept his claim to be God. C.S. Lewis goes on to say, that is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You see, you can't say Jesus was a great prophet. Jesus was a great moral teacher, but we're going to dispute his claim to be God because you can't separate the two. A great moral teacher wouldn't say stupid things like, if you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sin. That I am the way, I am the truth and the life. If you don't believe in me, you're going to go to hell. That's not great moral teaching if it's not true. But if it is true, then it's exclusive truth, isn't it? It's very exclusive. Truth about heaven. How many roads are there? Ah, wrong. That's right. Thank you very much over here. I fooled you. There's two ways. If you pre-filled out your little form, sorry, you're going to have to erase that now. I knew I'd catch some of you pre-fillers. Did that on purpose. There's two ways. Let's look at these briefly. Two ways to heaven. Yeah, two ways. Can you believe it? Why is this? Road number one. You must be perfect. Ah! Show me door number two right now, Bill. Let's just move on. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. We sin. We fall short. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're not perfect. Listen, most of us, the idea of working for our salvation is very appealing. It's very appealing. Meaning, if I could do something to earn my way to heaven, that would appeal to our flesh, to our pride, really. That's what it appeals to. That's why it's so successful in so many religions. When they give you a list to fill out, once you start checking off, you feel pretty good about yourself. I'm going to make it because I'm doing all these things. I'm going to church, I'm tithing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It appeals to our pride. I had a good friend, pastor friend, who was on a plane not too long ago with a Jewish woman, and pastor friend explained he was of the Christian faith and had a conversation with this woman, and this woman at one point got kind of huffy with him. And she said this, and I'll quote her. She said, we have, as Jewish people, we have over 637 rules and laws to obey, and you don't have any. Someone's like, nah, 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 nah. We have 637 rules to obey, and you don't have any. She was proud of that. Proud of it. And I say, thank you, God. that there is nothing I can do in and of myself to make it to heaven. Nothing. But it does appeal to our pride. As a matter of fact, Eastern philosophy has its appeal, doesn't it? We think of Eastern philosophy, we think it's so inspiring, so free-thinking, so simple, don't we? Just so simple and easy, non-material, and if we get it wrong, we have another life to try it over again. Oh, the appeal of Eastern, it's so popular. And here's the deal. Again, once it looks good on the outside, but once you cut a little deeper into the surface, you find out it's not that easy and it's not that simple. Just for instance, let me just share with you about Buddhism. You may not know this about Buddhism. Oh, it just seems like put on a robe and go up into a mountain, just, and I'm a monk, you know, I'm a Buddhist monk. Listen to this. Buddhism, it starts with four simple truths about pain and suffering in the world called the Noble Path. That's the four simple truths of Buddhism. That leads to an eightfold path. Upon entering a path, you'll find hundreds of rules that must be obeyed. Four different offenses you could commit to lose your discipleship status. There's four offenses. There's 30 rules to help ward off those said offenses. 92 rules that apply to one of those offenses if you want to make it back. 75 rules help you just to get into the order. And if you really want to pursue the way of life, there are 227 rules to be followed by men. And get this, 311 for women. I don't know why there's more for women. And the simple appeal just kind of blows away, doesn't it? It just leaves you cold. You think, I'll never make it. And the point is, you never will. No matter how simple or appealing or free-thinking it seems. It's appealing to our flesh, though, at times. It appeals to our pride. It's like swimming across an ocean. I don't care if you're Florence Chadwick, the woman we've talked about the last couple weeks. A great swimmer. I don't care if you're Florence or you're the best swimmer in the world and you jump into the ocean in California, you're going to swim around the world. You're determined you're going to do it. I'm going to do it my own. Listen, you're going to die is all I got to say. You're never going to make it. There's nobody that's going to make it. You can never swim that far. You'll die. And to think that you can do anything to earn your way to heaven, it's like jumping in the ocean and starting to swim. I'll do it. I'm going to be better than that guy back there. Well, you're both going to die. Neither one's going to make it. You can never, because why? Because you have to be perfect. To get to heaven, you have to be perfect. And the point is, none of us are perfect. So, road number two, you must be humble. Road number one, if you haven't caught it yet, it was a trick question. Road number one doesn't work. Nobody can take road number one. Nobody's perfect for all of sin. It says right here in Romans 3:23, and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And it breaks God's heart. Isaiah 59:2 says that our sins have separated us from God. Our sins have separated us from God. There's nothing we can do to bridge that gap ourselves. And we've all fallen short. We've all sinned. You've got to understand that heaven is a free gift. Heaven is a free gift to you and I. It says in Romans 6:23, think here, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. The free gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Muhammad, Confucius? No. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift that Jesus offers anyone. Therefore, he is not unfair to say, I am the way, I am the truth, because he says this, I offer it to anyone freely. All you got to do is come take it. Therefore, he can claim that he is the only way. Because he is not exclusive in his liberality and his generosity. He gives it to anyone who would ask. You know, after thousands of years, there's no one that has been good enough to make it to heaven. Everyone will stand before God based on what they've done in this body, and we will be judged. And if you've sinned against God, then door number one is closed to you. And you have to pay for it yourself, or you need to be humble and receive the free gift that God offers to you freely through Jesus Christ. If you receive that gift, you can have eternal life with God in heaven forever. John 6:37 says this, all that the Father gives me, says Jesus, will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. You get his heart here? You come to me, I will never drive you away. You come to me, I'll never drive you away. Lastly, the truth about Jesus, he is the only way. There truly is in practice only one way, and that's Jesus. Let's end with this verse, Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Jesus says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find that." My prayer is that you would find the narrow gate. And yes, it is narrow. And yes, there is one way. It's through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe that's true for you or not, it is true. It is exclusive truth. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It is true. Just like I'm standing here today. That is the truth. No other paths are going to get you there. All of the paths are on the wide path that leads to destruction. Jesus can claim to be the only truth. Why? Because He is the creator of the universe. And He's the only one. He is the only one that lived a sinless life when He was on this earth. And He paid for your sins and my sins so that we could go to heaven. Muhammad didn't do that. Confucius didn't do that. There's no religious leader that has ever paid for your sins. And even if they died for you, they have to pay for their own. They don't have enough to pay for yours. Jesus didn't sin, therefore He could pay for your sin. That's what makes Him the only way. The only way. No one else has paid for your sins. Not how good you are, it's the bad you've done. My prayer is that you'll find the narrow gate. And that you'll help other people. That's what we're about here. We want to help other people realize that the road is narrow. That leads to life. But we're going to do our best to populate heaven by pointing people to that road. Not to the rock church. Not to these great teachings and concerts. We're pointing to Jesus Christ. A relationship with the person of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank You for today. Lord, I thank You that though it seems exclusive, it seems judgmental to say there's only one way. We don't have to be ashamed of that. We're just embracing what You said. Lord, it's disingenuous for anyone to say, we think Jesus has some good stuff to say and we'll follow His teachings, but don't give me that garbage that He's the only way. God, that's disingenuous that you can't say that. I thank You. You claim to be God and You are God. And You proved it. Thank You that You claim that You are the only way and I believe it. Lord, thank You that anyone who comes to You, You will not drive away. That if there's people here this morning that don't know You and they humbly come to You even now and say, Jesus, I know I've sinned against You. I know I've tried to make heaven on my own. I've tried to do it by being a good religious boy or girl or pay my tithe or go to church. And I realize that's not going to get me to heaven. I've even dabbled in Eastern mythology and religions. And oh God, I realize now that's not going to get me to heaven. Because somebody's got to pay for my sin. And I don't want to. Oh Lord Jesus, I invite You into my heart right now. And I ask You, I want to receive that free gift that You offer me. You said You'll never drive me away. I want to receive that gift today. And know for sure that my sins are forgiven because of what You did, not because of what I've done. That I can be with You forever and ever and ever. I want to choose the narrow road. I want to put my eternal trust in You. I want to have faith that You died and did a good job dying for my sins. I want to take that gift. Lord Jesus, this morning again, I thank You that You are the way. And that You have revealed Yourself to us in a very special way. We love You and we thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You that for You to be the only way is not contrary to what we've read in the Bible. We know it's true. We believe it in our hearts. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.